welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, September 2nd, episode 82 of our podcast. In today's podcast, we get to a bunch of topics. Fresh off of their win yesterday, the Indiana Fever folks are over 500 for the first time this season, and now we're in sixth place in the WNBA standings. We'll talk about the play of Caitlin Clark, who's been fantastic, but we're going to have to give our flowers to Kelsey Mitchell, who's been absolutely fantastic. Next to the W, we'll preview the four games to tip off on Tuesday the 3rd. We have Seattle taking on the Connecticut Sun. We have the Washington Mystics heading to Dallas to take on Rico Mobley and the Wings. Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky versus Asia Wilson and the Vegas Aces. And then we also have, obviously, Atlanta Dream taking on the Phoenix Mercury. After previewing those four games, we'll head to the NBA as we go through alphabetically all the teams previewing for the NBA season. We're going to the D's. We're going to, first of all, we'll have the Dallas Mavericks. We'll then go to the Denver Nuggets, and then we'll finish it off with the Detroit Pistons. Thank you for listening, as always, folks. And let's get started in the WNBA. And, folks, the Indiana Fever are playing such phenomenal basketball as of late. And you can look at the fact that this team, who did not look very promising early on in the season, folks, and let's be honest here, I, for one, was questioning whether Christy Sides could even be the head coach. A team that started off the season 0-5, a team that started off the season 1-8, is now on an absolute heater, winning four games in a row. And if you can look at it, I think it's 6 out of 7 games after the Olympic break. And folks, where do you think I'm going to start? We're going to have to go with Caitlin Clark. Now, I've said this, folks, that I thought for the Indiana Fever, the best thing for Caitlin Clark was rest. And by her not playing on the Olympic team, it allowed her to get the rest that she needed. Because remember, folks, she had been going nonstop since, if you think about the 20-hour week in college basketball, since the 4th week of September. So this kid got a month off. Yeah, she went to the Yankee game, and she probably was a bigger star than Aaron Judge at Yankee Stadium. But she has been absolutely fantastic, scoring 24.5 points per game, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, almost a double-double, right? 1 steal per game, shooting 48% from the floor and 38% from 3 and 92% from the free throw line. So you kind of start to look at her, Mark, is, think about this, folks. She only is scoring 18.7 for the season, 8.4 assists. So right then and there, her shooting, her scoring has been up. But here's the thing, folks, that I want people to understand here with Caitlin Clark. Okay? Coming out of the Olympic break, all right, she has, I do believe, I think it's 3 games that she has shot at least 44% from 3. If you look at going back earlier in the year, I think she only did that, I think, 4 or 5 times beforehand. So she's shooting the ball at a much better clip, particularly from 3. And I think that's pretty important because that was something that we thought that she was always going to do. 34% from 3 for the season, 38% since the Olympic break, right? Shooting the ball from the floor, 42% from the floor for the season, 48% since the Olympic break. You see where I'm going here? She's shooting the ball at a really high clip. And if you have a person in Caitlin Clark that could shoot it at 48% from the floor, almost 40% from 3, and then have the ability to dime people up, that makes that team even more dangerous. Because now you can't load up on Caitlin. You have to figure out, you have to pick your poison. Do we give her the 3 and take away the drive? Or we get up into her space, make her punch the gap, and make her find other people? Well, if you're talking about finding other people, can we talk about Kelsey Mitchell? I mean, folks, Kelsey Mitchell, I know. All right, I'm going to say this. Besides Asia Wilson, Kelsey Mitchell's been the best player in the second half of the WNBA this season. You don't believe me? Okay, let's just put it to you like this. Since the Olympic break, Kelsey Mitchell, ready? I'm going to go from the first game from the Olympic break after 28-5, 28-2-3, 21-4-3, 29-7, 23-4-3, 23, and then last game, 36-6-3. And every game but one, did she shoot the ball 50% or higher every game, except for one. And that one game she shot 43.5%, but had 29 points and 7 assists. I mean, 7 rebounds. So Kelsey Mitchell's game has exploded, folks. She's got 20-point games every game since the break, and that's 7 games. Folks, during the first half of the year, I'm sorry, not even the first half, up until the Olympic break, Kelsey Mitchell had 5 games that she scored over 20. She scored 7 in a row. So now we have this Batman-Robin duo with Indiana, and you're like, oh, smokes. Like, how can we stop a team like this? And I think that's the thing that's really been key for Caitlin is she's got that co-star with her. You got to remember, they didn't play well early. Aaliyah Boston got going a little bit later in the year. But people forget how good Kelsey Mitchell has been in this league. She's been in the league 6 years. And if you look at her stats, last year, folks, she scored 18.2 points per game. Listen, since 2020, she has scored 17.8 points per game or more every season. Kelsey Mitchell is no slouch. She just had to find her way with Caitlin, and Caitlin had to find her way with Kelsey. And I think because of the two of them playing so well together, they become dangerous. And I think one thing you have to look at is the fact of their ability to trade roles, right? If you look at the last game, right, they trade roles and who's the scorer, who's the distributor. 15 points in the first half for Mitchell, 12 for Clark. When you have two players at the guard spot that can create their own shot, right, and then go ahead and score. And you got to remember, folks, Kelsey Mitchell is shooting the ball almost 40% from three. She's shooting it better than Caitlin Clark is. So if you have Mitchell scoring and playing the way that she's always played in her career with Caitlin Clark, folks, this team is going to be dangerous in the playoffs. And I'm so invested in them right now. Because if they get the right matchup, they're going to win their first round series. And I'm going to tell you right now, they would love if they got the Indiana Fever to the semifinals. If they got the Indiana Fever to the semifinals, the more they play, the better the ratings are going to be. I don't care what anybody says. The better that team plays and the further they go is going to make it absolutely fantastic. And right now, if the season were to end today, they would play the Minnesota Lynx. Now, I'm going to just say this really quick before I move into games. It's going to be tricky with the playoffs because I think New York is going to hold off Connecticut. Remember, New York won a season series 3-1. They're 2 games ahead in the loss column, which means they're up by 3 games, technically, on the Connecticut, because they will win the tiebreaker. So if New York is 1, then it becomes that 2-3 race between Connecticut and Minnesota, right? Because Connecticut's got 8 losses, Minnesota has 9 losses. And then it gets tricky again 4-5. Aces with 12 losses, Storm with 13. And then the same thing again with 6-7. Indiana with 16 losses, Phoenix with 17. And then again with Chicago and Atlanta with 21 losses. Here's what we're going to do. Before I move on to the games, I want to make sure you know next week, we're going to do a little bit I don't want to call it a playoff, but we'll kind of set the table with the standings. And I'm going to make some intriguing cases about the draft lottery in the WNBA because would teams be tanking for Kiki Arifin or Paige Bueckers? Stay tuned for that next week. Let's move on to the games to be scheduled to be played on Tuesday. And let's first start off with the game in regards to Seattle Storm taking on the Connecticut Sun. Right now, the Connecticut Sun are a -3 point favorite. And when you look at this matchup, folks, I am not really big on what I'm seeing out of the Seattle Storm. Folks, the Seattle Storm have not covered a game in 9 straight. They just played Connecticut yesterday and lost 93-86, giving up 93 points to a Connecticut Sun team that really can't score. And you look at Connecticut trying to see if they can catch New York for the 1 seed versus the team in Seattle that has not played well. The Connecticut Sun have covered 3 of the last 4 games. I'm going to make this very simple. I'm going to take the Connecticut Sun on the money line to get the job done again because I just don't think Seattle's playing very well right now. A Seattle Storm team that was, you know, known to have one of the better defenses in the WNBA have given up 93, 98, 81 points in the last 3 games. And that is a concern with me because I think Connecticut will find a way to play better defense. Now, their defense has been leaking a little bit, giving up 86, 85, 84, but also know they just gave up 64 at the New York Liberty. Alyssa Thomas will find a way. So right now we're going to go very simply put with the Connecticut Sun on the money line to get the win over the Seattle Storm. Next game on the schedule has the Washington Mystics taking on the Dallas Wings. The Dallas Wings are a -4 point favorite versus a Washington Mystics team that I've been really been impressed with as of late. This is a Washington Mystics team. They remember, folks, started season 0-12. Did not play very well. I know they did not cover their last game, which is a 96-85 loss to Connecticut, but they were in the game, so the spread was 8. They lost by 11. But, folks, before that, they covered the 4 previous games before that. You look at a Dallas Wings team that, you know, it was in a really tough dogfight of a game in which they gave up 100 points to the Indiana Fever. And this is a team that's not a strong team defensively. So it's interesting because you look at the contrast of styles. You have one of the worst defensive teams defensively in the Dallas Wings, or it's one of the worst offensive teams in the WNBA in the Washington Mystics. So far this season, they have already played twice. And Washington won both games. Both of them were at Washington, 97-69, 92-84. This is an interesting spot here, folks, because when you look at the standings, Washington and Dallas are both 2 games behind Chicago, who is free-falling for that 8th and final playoff spot. So I'm going to trust the defensive team here. I'm going to go with the Washington Mystics plus the 4 points on the road. They have been playing, like I said, really, really good basketball as of late. Mike Thibault's done a great job. And if you look at the teams that they've played, yes, they lost by 11 to Connecticut, but they beat the Sky by 4. They won in Seattle by 2. They beat the Sparks by 6. They lost to Seattle covering the spread by 6. You know, they've played really good basketball coming out of the Olympic break, even though Satu Sabali and Matty Seegers are back with Ariko Wumbuwale. I'm going to still take the Washington Mystics plus the 4 points versus the Dallas Wings. Next game is going to be an intriguing one here because you got the Chicago Sky getting 11.5 points at the Las Vegas Aces. Now, these two teams have had two games that they've already played, I do believe, this year. They've played three times. And do know the last two have been pretty interesting. There was a game right before the Olympic break where the Vegas Aces lost at home 93-85 as a 14.5-point favorite. And then you have the game that just happened a couple of days ago, or last week, a 77-75 win by the Vegas Aces on a layup by Asia Wilson at the buzzer. So when you look at the line, you start to get a little concerned, like, it's a big number. Vegas has not been good against the spread as of you know, until the last couple of games. But, folks, Chicago is free-falling. Losers of six games in a row, 2-8 straight up in their last 10 games. Yes, they covered the spread in that 79-74 loss versus Minnesota. But, folks, Vegas may have woke up. Because what Vegas did to Phoenix yesterday was goddamn criminal. 97-79, folks, and the game wasn't even that close. Maybe this is the time that the Aces start to make their push and make their run. I love the Vegas Aces minus 11.5. I think we're going to get a better performance out of them. And I continue to think that, you know, Asia Wilson is going to make a point here. Over 39.5 points plus rebounds is something I'm going to be looking to play. I think Asia Wilson can get to 30, 35 points by herself. When you look at the stats or the props for Angel Reese, you know, her rebounding prop, I do believe it's going to be 14.5 at even money. And there's something to be said, folks. This happened again last game with Angel Reese playing in the game late in a blowout loss to get a double-double. It's become a tough scene for me, folks. I'm sorry, it was a 79-74 loss that they lost in Minnesota. But she was in the game late. And I'm not going to start a conspiracy theory here. But there's another young big on that roster named Camila Cardoso, who played really, really well. Had 22-9. But I think they pulled her and kept Reese in the game. One got a double-double. One didn't. We'll talk a lot about Chicago next week, particularly if they fall out of that slot of eight. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, right now. I think Chicago's in deep trouble. I don't think they're making the playoffs. I think this slide is going to continue, and that's going to set up something interesting with them is where they could land in the 2025 WNBA draft. Remember, we'll talk about that more next week. Last game of the day, or tonight, I should say, Atlanta Dream getting a point at the Phoenix Mercury. And you have probably heard me talk about this. I am such a big fan of Ryan Howard. And I feel like the Atlanta Dream has been playing so much better since she has returned right at the Olympic break. They have a win versus Seattle. They have a win versus Connecticut. They have a close loss versus Indiana. They've split with Phoenix at home. They just blew out the Sparks. And I look at this team and the Phoenix Mercury, and it's not adding up. It's not jiving with me the way they have played the Phoenix Mercury. They've not covered the spread of four of their last five games. And some of those games, and granted, folks, one was against Atlanta. They lost by nine. Then they had one. They won by one, by two. They were a one-point favorite. And then the last three games, they lost to the Liberty by 14, the Lynx by 13, and Vegas Aces by 17 or 18. Now, you can sit there and say this is going to be a better matchup. But I am a believer in this Atlanta Dream team. And I honestly think, folks, I think the Atlanta Dream are going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to make the playoffs because I think Chicago is going to continue to falter. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the Atlanta Dream on the money line in that game as a slight underdog. It's minus 108 in the money line on the money line, so it's still pretty close to even money. When you look at any kind of props, I'm obviously looking at the play of Tina Charles. Has been absolutely fantastic. Tina Charles is going to double-double as a minus 125. The Wiley veteran that's been around for a long time has I don't even want to call her a resurgence with Tina Charles, because I remember watching Tina Charles play when she was at Christ the King High School a long time ago, and she's getting you 15 points, 9.2 rebounds a game, and has double-doubles, and I think in five out of the last six games, including double-doubles of 14 and 13, 12 and 17 versus Phoenix Mercury. Either go over her rebounding prop, or if you want to, minus 125, Tina Charles, the veteran, to get a double-double. Let's switch gears. Let's go to the NBA, and let's get our preview going with three more teams. Let's start with the Dallas Mavericks, a team that made it to the NBA Finals with a 50-32 record. They're over-under win totals at 49.5. Their odds to win the Southwest Division is plus 105. The odds to win the Western Conference is plus 480. And their odds to win the NBA championship sit squarely at 10-1. And when you look at this team, the first thing you want to look at to me is the Southwest Division, okay? Because I don't think they're going to win the division. And I think this division is much better than people think. I'm very high on New Orleans. We'll talk about them when we get to them. We'll talk about Houston in the next podcast. I think they're going to make a monumental leap. I think Memphis will be better with John Morant back and healthy. And I think San Antonio is going to take a big leap. So if I think those four teams are all going to be better than last year, I can't take the team that won 50 games to do it again. I'm going under 49.5 wins for this team. I do not think they win the Southwest Division. I actually think it's going to be New Orleans with a sneaky pick that it could be Houston. And I don't think they go very deep in the Western Conference, because when you line up the Western Conference, right, are they better than Oklahoma City? No. Are they better than Denver? No. Are they better than Minnesota? No. Are they better than the Clippers? We got to see what the Clippers without having Paul George. Are they better than Phoenix? Close, but I think Dallas is going to regress. Are they better than New Orleans? No. Are they better than Sacramento? I don't think so. Are they better than Houston? May not be. Are they better than Memphis? Maybe not. So to me, I don't think they go far in the playoffs. I would be willing to even think about, if you could find it, the odds for them to make the play-in tournament. I think that is something that would be something that's of interest of me, especially you can get it at plus money, and they're plus 250. So all I'm saying is this: they don't finish top six. They finish 7-10. And I really think Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota, Phoenix, and I think probably the Pelicans, and either Golden State, Sacramento, Houston, or Memphis are going to jump them. Maybe even the Clippers. So I am going to go ahead and I'm going to say this. I'm not going to bet them to win the Southwest Division. I'm not going to bet them to win the Western Conference. I'm not going to bet them make the NBA Finals, but I'm going to bet them at 2.5-1 to be in a play-in tournament, because they'll get in slots 7-10. Remember, they only cleared it by three games last year. When you look at the odds, Luka to win MVP is plus 350. Luka was absolutely fantastic last year, getting about 34 points per game, 9.2 rebounds, 9.8 assists, 49% from the floor, 38% from three. Folks, if there is a if there's a way that I can sit here and say, he doesn't win it. Have y'all seen what Luka looks like? I mean, he don't look like that. He look about 25 pounds heavier than that. Luka didn't make the Olympics, and why I say it's great for some teams to not make the Olympics is to get the rest of their guys. Luka didn't make the Olympics, and now he looks like a tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. Luka does not look in shape. And Luka has done this before. I personally believe that the MVP is probably going to go to SGA. I know they would love to give it to Luka. I think it's going to SGA. I'll say this much as well. I think we'll get to San Antonio. I said it before. I love Wembanyama at 18-1. I just have this feeling this kid's going to go absolutely nuclear this year. Now, will I give him MVP, most improved defensive player of the year? Probably not. But, you know, Luka Doncic, that's a favorite at 3.5 to win the MVP. I'm not taking it. I'm not buying him. I'm not buying Joker. I'm squarely at SGA at 5.5-1. Let's move on to the Denver Nuggets, who finished with 57-25 record last year. But, folks, their overall win total is at 51.5 at even money. The juice is on the under at minus 122. Odds to win the Northwest Division, 2.5-1. Odds to win the Western Conference, plus 480. 9-1 to win the NBA Finals. Folks, they are in. I don't want to call them the hardest division because I really think the hardest division is probably the Pacific. But you could argue three of the top four teams, maybe even all three of the top three teams in the Western Conference, all are in this division. And I got concerns for Denver. This has been a little bit of a two-year slide. They lost Jeff Green. They lost Bruce Brown last year to free agency, 2 years ago. They just lost KCP to Orlando. They are banking on Christian Brown to make a monumental leap. A Christian Brown that only scored 7.3 points per game last year. And in the playoffs was down to 5.1 and a 22% shooter from three. I think they're going to miss KCP a lot more than people think. I also think Jamal Murray did not look good in the playoffs or in the Olympics. So we need to see which Jamal Murray shows up and shows out. A Jamal Murray that if you take away, you know, game seven, which he was absolutely fantastic, scoring 35 points, he was 4 out of 18 in game number six. You know, he was 3 out of 18 in game number two. You know, you look at the Lakers series, he always beats the Lakers up. I'm not counting that. But he wasn't really good in the Olympics. And I think KCP handling a lot of the defensive load, it's going to be important. I also think KCP shot making from three allowed the floor to be stretched a little bit better than Christian Brown. So I have a little bit concerns when it comes to him. There's also the implementation of Russell Westbrook into the lineup. A Russell Westbrook who has been a great player for a long time, sure ballot first ballot Hall of Famer. But I don't know how much is left in the tire, in the tank. You look at the fact that they've drafted Daron Holmes. And Daron Holmes tears his Achilles tendon first game of summer league. I think Daron Holmes is going to be a good pro. It's going to help that team out a lot. But if there's one guy I'm concerned about, it's Nikola Jokic. A Nikola Jokic who has an odds at plus 360 to win MVP. Last year, 26.4, 12.4, 9, 58% from the floor, 36% from three. And before, you know, it's interesting when you look at the Joker in regards to his stats, his 58.3% is his second best shooting percentage of his career. the 35.9%, I think it's the third or fourth best of his career. The rebound, the 12.4, second best of his career. The assist at 9, only to be outdone by 9.8. But I was looking around, and I don't like him to an MVP, but I was looking around, and FanDuel has this season-long special for Nikola Jokic to get 30 triple-doubles during the season at 5-1. And you're going to sit there and say, he hasn't even been close to that. You're absolutely wrong. 2 years ago, in 22-23, he had 29 triple-doubles. Last year, he had 25. Because of my concerns with Jamal Murray, with the fact that I think they're going to miss KCP, I think they're going to lean more on Joker to create for his teammates. And if Murray's struggling as a shot creator, who else on that team can go get a bucket one-on-one? It's not Christian Brown. It's not Aaron Gordon. It's not, you know, it's not Michael Porter Jr. I mean, I guess you could say the only other guy on the team that can really get his own shot is Russ. And Russ can't shoot. So that means I think they run the offense more through Joker at the low post, at the pinch, which is the high post. And I think there's a play where he's going to get this. I'm going to go for it, folks. Nikola Jokic, 30-plus triple-doubles at 5-1. Let's end today's podcast by talking about Detroit basketball. Detroit Pistons. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They were terrible. Boy, folks, I'm sorry. I was so big on Monty Williams replacing Dwayne Casey. I'm like, psh. Y'all remember last year? Coach Young said it. Detroit's going to be in the play-in tournament. Detroit's going to make a run. Lord have mercy. I done got that so wrong. They went 14-68. I think they may have been, Matt maybe will tell me this, I think they were worse last year than they were the year before. I think they had less wins last year, if I'm not mistaken. They had 14 wins last year. At 22-23, they had 17. So they were worse. So they were worse. Thanks, Matt. Last year. So when you look at Detroit, the odds for them to win the Central Division, don't even waste your money. That's a sheer over-under win total. So when you start to look at the depth of this team, I'll go to Cade last because we have to talk about him with his most improved player. Can Jaden Ivey take that next step? A Jaden Ivey who has shown at times flashes of being great with games which he just doesn't look like he even wants to show up. But he got to 60, almost 15 points a game, and he did not get along with the coach. He didn't get along with Monty Williams because I think early on in the year they brought him off the bench. He didn't like it. There's a play of Asar Thompson who, like, I couldn't figure out his situation for the life of me. They were playing this kid 25, 30 minutes a night all the way until, like, the ending of November. Then his minutes went down. He was barely playing. And then they played him late, probably after they traded Bogdanovich. This kid is a sneaky double-double machine. And he's a sneaky good passer. Always look at Asar's rebounds plus assists. That's always going to be something you want to look at. Then you go to the man in the middle, Jalen Duren. And a Jalen Duren that scored 13.8, 11.6, was absolutely fantastic, being one of the best offensive rebounders in the NBA. Undersized at 6'10", at center position, but freakishly athletic. Showed a little bit of a mid-range game. Let's see if he continues to do that with J.B. Bickerstaff. Then you look at, you know, who they brought in. Marcus Sasser is a winner. You know, Isaiah Stewart, I think he's going to be trade bait. Big Ball Paul Reed now is a member of the Detroit Pistons. And then they went and signed Tobias Harris. Do y'all know Tobias Harris has made the most money in the NBA without making an all-star team in his career? He has not made one all-star game in his career. But I think you're going to get a – and this is – listen. And what people want to knock him, and I have at times too in big spots, Tobias did give you 17.2, 6.5. He should be the second scorer in Detroit. And he should be getting you 18 to 20 a night. I think Cade's the number one scorer. Tobias the second scorer. Then the third scorer is Ivy, with Duren being the junkyard dog and Asor Thompson being the guy that kind of facilitates everything as a point forward. So I'm curious to see how this team is. The one thing to say about J.B. Bickerstaff's teams is he does a good job with young players and young teams. Am I going to fall for the banana and tailpipe again? I mean, it's literally on the conversation. Like, this is how much I'm up and down with this team. I'm going to go under by a smidge. Under 25 and a half. Washington is worse than them. I think Charlotte's going to be better than them. Toronto's going to be close. Brooklyn's definitely the worst team in the East. There's no bones about it. So there's two teams right there that I think are going to be worse. They're not going to be better than Atlanta. Chicago, you got to watch out for it if they make trades and get off to a bad start. But I think things will get better with JB. I just don't think it's this year. Under 25 and a half wins for the Detroit Pistons. Lastly, really cool with Cade Cunningham. Odds to win most improved player, 25 to 1. Cade Cunningham, 22.7 points per game, 4.3 rebounds, 7.5 assists. Simply put, with Cade. If Cade is healthy and he gives you 70 games, he's going to be in the race. He's too good. So if Cade can play 70 games and get you about 23 points, another assist to 8.5 assists, 4.3 rebounds, and he could shoot it, a smidge better from three. Let's say they get him up to about 38%, shooting percentage at about 46%. Cade Cunningham, 25 to 1. Don't sleep on that to be most improved player. You got to remember, he was part of his select team this summer versus Team USA, and he played damn good. And I'm a big fan of Cade Cunningham. Yes, three coaches in 3 years stinks, but I look at what J.B. Bickerstaff did, particularly with Darius Garland. I think Cade is better than Garland, and maybe he unlocks it. I expect a huge year out of Cade Cunningham, 25 to 1, the most improved player. I'm going to put a couple of bucks on it. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for September 2nd. For all things sports gambling, please go download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast we're going to shoot on next Tuesday on the 10th, to be released on the 11th. We're going to do a couple of things. We're going to look at the WNBA. We'll preview games. We'll look at this little tankathon thing, and we'll start the lineup. Who may be tanking? Who may be looking for that top pick of Kiki Arifin or Paige Beckers, along with previewing Golden State, Houston, and Indiana. From our producer, Matty George, Vinny, who always does a great job with the graphics. Thank you for listening, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.